Pull up a chair and join us at the table this week for another episode of Paper, Pencil, Dice, a tabletop role-playing podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of Paper, Pencil, Dice. So, last time, our adventurers were fleeing from some zombies, or at least trying to get through a horde of zombies. And they finally reached what they knew on their map to be labeled as the laboratory. Or the laboratory. Really depends on how you want to pronounce it.
The lavatory.
Or as they pronounced it, lavatory. Before we jump into the action here, let's go around and introduce everybody. So first of all, Aether, would you like to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Sure, I'm Brian. I am playing Aether Soloris. He is a Seer Elf fighter. He just got finished doing a little bit of zombie bowling, so he's ready to find out what's going on with the laboratory. That word was hard for some reason. So, what we've got going on.
The Labracadabradory.
There we go.
Okay, after Aether, let's go to Hup.
I'm Mark. I am playing Hup Bottomsworth, a human rogue. And I start really strong with skills and then kind of fall off near the end.
Yeah. That sounds like Hup.
Very much so.
All right. After Hup, let's go and introduce Jethal.
Hey there. I'm Jethal.
Hi.
Otherwise named Chris. I'm playing Jethal. I'm an awesome wizard that, is just awesome. Ready. I'm also, I believe, I'm also very wounded and would like help eventually.
That's probably a good plan. Didn't you get poisoned too, I think, or bitten by a zombie, I think, at one point? Yeah.
Yes.
All right. And then last but not least, but definitely shortest, Tegan.
Hey, no more short jokes. So this is Crispy. I am playing Tegan. And Tegan's still trying to recover from the fact that he rubbed a jewel all over a zombie a couple of episodes ago. And now all these other zombies are here and he has no jewels to rub over these zombies. So he's just trying to figure this whole thing out.
Yeah, he's Crispy. All right, so so everyone ready to play some Pathfinder second edition?
That's
do it.
Fair idea, let's try that.
All right, we'll give it a shot this week. see how it plays out.
Oh man, I thought this was Candyland.
All right, so
matters forest.
Yeah, stuck in the gumdrop. What is that stuff? Like the gumdrop swamp or something like that? I can't remember.
Molasses swamp.
There you go.
My gumdrop buttons.
All right. So after you dealt with all the zombies or got past all the zombies, you approach the door frame that was to a stairwell that leads down to the laboratory or laboratory. At least according to your map. When you pass through it, most of you, it looked like an ornate but otherwise relatively ordinary stone archway, except for Aether, being more well-versed in the arcane arts, happened to notice what appeared to be some sort of runes surrounding the doorframe. The moment you all go down the door's frame, Rallos is still with you. Does not appear to be ill-affected, but the rest of the undead that were here or that were following you seem to stop immediately in front of the door frame and proceed no further. They stand around the door frame. You can still hear them making their brrrr sound. But they seem to have not a fear of the door frame, but more of some sort of like a reverence reaction towards it. Like as if maybe not exactly this, but almost like it's holy ground to them. So they dare not tread on it type thing. It's hard to kind of really assess the motivations of a zombie, but that's the best you can get.
The motivations of a zombie. That sounds like a psychology text of some sort.
This week on Motivations of a Zombie. All right, so you, as you descend the staircase. You all quickly realize that this area, this now the lowest area, depth wise that you've approached of the Dread Crown's lair is incredibly old, much older than the rest that you have seen, or at least much less used. You can see water dripping from occasional cracks in the walls. The coloration of the greenish stone as you descend the stairs is much different than the brown stone walls in the areas up above. You can still hear the undead even as you descend the stairs, but they continue to not approach the entryway to the stairs, simply standing around, making some shuffling or grunting noises. As you continue down, you can smell just this moldy, stale air, as though this is an area that's not often disturbed in this area down the stairs. Making it down the stairs, what would normally be probably about two floors worth in the surface world, you finally reach the bottom and are in what appears to be some sort of an arcane laboratory, or at least what used to be one. There are bookshelves and tables, each having items of some sort of arcane or alchemical purpose sitting on them, but they all pretty much have decomposed or become otherwise worthless due to just neglect over likely decades, if not centuries, of age. There do also appear to be more rooms beyond this one, and the same greenish stone and the light off of them seems to reflect from those rooms the same as this one. Do you investigate this room at all?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Okay. Where are you guys looking?
Is there anything that looks medicinal in nature? I'd probably gravitate towards that.
Okay. I mean, it probably not so much on the shelves, but maybe on some of the tables. You can go ahead and give me a perception check if you'd like.
Sure. Where is perception?
I can just check around the room looking for anything that...
Anyone who wants to make a check, just go ahead and give me a roll.
Yeah, I can do that. Let me see. I appear to have gotten...
I got a 20.
Nice. Yeah. I got a 14 in my perception.
Okay. Anyone else?
I got a 10. So I see almost nothing.
Well, Jethal goes up and he sees some interesting looking arcane books.
Ooh.
So, when you pick one up, it almost just crumbles into dust the moment you get your hands on it.
Almost?
As in there's just flakes of maybe papers left. Okay. You could probably maybe try to play, a puzzle and put things back together. But at this point, you'd be spending hours trying to piece together a single page at a time.
Yeah, it's not really worth my time.
Hop rolled a 7, so I'm assuming he finds... I mean, this is an older location. You said it was older than the rest. So is there like avocado green appliances or like orange shag carpet? Or...
No, yeah. Purple shag.
Purple shag. Oh, no.
Purple shag on the walls.
Man. Righteous.
No. With a 7, which it looks like you rolled a natural 1, you're kind of more just watching what everyone else is looking at.
Cool, dude. That's an awesome plate.
Meanwhile, Athir, you go looking around. You don't really find anything that jumps immediately out at you, though you do find a couple alchemical flasks that have some sort of a fluid in them. But you really aren't really sure if they're trustworthy. If they were arcane, they might be okay. But if they're not, they probably are long since rendered either inert or worse.
Okay.
And meanwhile, go ahead.
I was do I think that they're used for consumption, or is it something I would throw as a bomb type?
You can give me either a craft alchemy or alchemy lore check to determine what you know about these.
All right. Well, let's see what I roll here for a crafting check here. 15.
Yep. It's likely that this is probably something that is thrown.
Okay.
The shape of the bottle and stuff like that. It seems to be more of a bottle designed for throwing as opposed to drinking.
It was, but my inspection of it seems to think that it would no longer function, or...
At this point, you don't know.
Okay.
I mean, you could throw it. Worst case scenario, if it hits an enemy, it splashes him with some, like, moldy water or something like that is the worst case scenario. Dude, so
gross.
Okay. I'm going to, we came down a hall, right?
Where the you came down a staircase. Yeah.
Yeah. I would like to go back up the staircase and put these on the ground in case zombies would come through and they could knock it down and warn us. Can I do like set a trap type thing?
Sure. Yeah, you don't need to make a roll for that. That's a pretty easy thing to do. So, okay. Yeah, you can essentially just set some glass bottles up at the top of the stairs, and that way, if they do make it down, you'll definitely know.
All right.
Because their zombies are not usually smart enough to avoid kicking something down the stairs. So
that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
All right, good plan. And then last but not least is Tegan. You're looking for kind of... I'm sorry?
What's with the short jokes?
I mean, look at you.
Oh, thanks.
It's hard to see him all the way down there.
I know. but no, so you're...
And I just pat him on the head.
Hup just kind of like leans on him with one elbow off to the side, well, and then...
I pat him like a pet.
Oh, do you tossle his hair a little bit?
Get off of me! Get off of me!
Anywho, so Tegan, ultimately, he finds what looks like a bell jar of some sort that has a plant underneath. The plant is long since dead, but based upon Tegan's medical lore, it looks like this was probably a plant that may have been able to be used as like in some sort of a tincture. That could heal poisons. Whether or not the plant could be usable at this point, or, you know, maybe there's potentially seeds that are viable off of it that you could grow, you know, more of this plant. But the plant hasn't been seen in as far back as you can see. You know, you've only ever seen the plant in textbooks.
Do I know if it helps with zombie bites in case the...
Go ahead and give me a check.
What are you saying?
I hope it's not a medicine check because
it is in fact a medicine check.
Oh god!
I get a plus zero to that.
Yeah, I know. Let's see what you roll.
A 16.
That's not bad. With a all right, so yeah, with your roll of a 16. You got a 16. So you get you looking at it, you think that this is probably not so much for poison for zombie bites, more so for like ingested poisons. It can kind of neutralize them.
Okay.
But again, you're pretty confident with a 16 that whatever healing properties this plant may have had, it's been dead long enough that it probably no longer has them, though you do think there might be a chance that the seeds might be harvestable and you could possibly grow more of it later on if you wanted to.
All right. I'll carefully wrap the plant and the seeds in some cloth I've got with me, just for carrying different items, whether it's plants or herbs or stowed away.
Okay.
Did I find anything else with my 20? That's like the highest I've gotten on project.
That was a pretty good find. So, go ahead and it's called unicorn's ear is the name of the plant.
Okay.
Go ahead and add unicorn's ear seeds to your inventory.
Okay.
Well then.
Sweet. All right. Cool. So we keep looking.
You can grow unicorns now.
I mean, you guys have pretty well searched this area at this point.
Is there a door leading out?
Yeah, there are further rooms beyond this area. And then, or you can go back up the stairs.
Was there any rooms up the stairs?
There were, well, right now there's a horde of zombies between the top of the stairs and any rooms from there. But yeah, there were several rooms that were probably like individual rooms for sleeping. They had dressers and beds and things like that. And them seemed to be, that's kind of where the...
You should go check that out, Tegan. I'm going to check on one of these adjoining rooms while Tegan goes upstairs.
Thanks. Thanks there, Hup.
You might... there's a nice bed up there. I know how you gnomes like to sleep.
So I'm kind of religion-based, so I look at Rollos and just see, as we passed the doorway and as we came down the stairs and as we're looking around, does he see anything different? Does he show anything different? I mean, he had to have known that the zombies didn't come past any further.
So he, when he crossed the threshold of the doorframe, he winced a little bit, but he seemed to not be directly affected. You're nice, Mark. You think that he might not be like, he has a affinity with the undead, but he himself is not undead. So it's likely that it affected him somewhat, but not as much as the true undead that were following the group.
I mean, he's in an undead body, right? He's just projecting through it, right?
He's essentially piloting a corpse at the moment, but he himself is not dead.
Sure.
I mean, really, couldn't we say that about all of us? We're just all piloting a corpse at whatever.
To a degree.
I mean, someday we'll no longer pilot it, and it will be called a corpse. That's how it works.
As soon as you're born, you start dying, so you might as well have a good time. Yeah,
exactly.
Vehicle may become unattended.
Vehicle may be unattended abruptly.
All right, cool. So, yeah, there's no reason to ask him any more questions. So let's find the adjacent rooms, which I want to make sure I go with the whole group. I don't want to get split up again.
I agree. So, I also nudge Tegan and be like, hey, man, can you help me out? I got bit.
I can totally make a medicine check and try to help you out.
It hurt kind of hard.
Sure, let's see what's wrong with you first.
I mean, that could take a while.
It.
All right, let's see what happens. Oh, sweet! A 19.
Okay. Diagnosing Jethal, it appears that he has been bitten by a zombie.
Like I said.
Zombie bite.
No, hold on now.
Bite, it seems to be a giveaway.
But the thing is it looks like it's most likely the thing, what's actually causing Jethal discomfort is the wound itself, not necessarily the zombie infection. Based upon your medical knowledge, you think that with a couple days of bed rest with treatment, he would be able to overcome it without any real difficulty. But in the interim, simply healing him might at least make him back up to fighting shape for right now until he has the chance to have bed rest.
We haven't rested any at all, have we?
Not since you entered the lair, no.
No.
Oh, good. So this is my third spell. All right. I will
heal. I mean, I might. What do I have? Anything? Nope, I have nothing.
So could Hup grab a handful of dirt off the ground, cast a quick light cantrip on it, and then offer it out to Jethal as a... This is a magical powder that I picked up in town that is supposed to maybe treat undead symptoms.
All right.
But it was pretty expensive, and it's going to cost you.
But, you know, I would make you roll a deception check, but, you know, I think that the way you're trying to pull it is so far-fetched at this point that...
I thought for sure I was just going to be an automatic success.
So I think you're just going to need some bed rest, Jethal. Here's a heal spell, so he heals you for 11.
An undead powder. Niocaine powder.
And we're going to need some rest after this, and then you'll feel better.
Do we need
I already feel a little better.
What was that, Aether?
So do we need to have him wear a mask and keep him 6 feet away from us?
For those listening, at home, we're recording during the COVID-19, so that was really, really bad.
What's that?
Yeah. So for all of those of you who are enjoying this in the future, after the apocalypse is finished.
Zombie apocalypse.
Toilet paper's back on the shelves and everything's back to normal.
Absolutely. That's the hope anyway.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Unrelated note, we were cleaning one of our other rooms and we found an extra 40 rolls of toilet paper. It was like stumbling upon like the best thing ever.
You got gold, man.
I know. It's like finding hidden treasure now. Anyway, sorry. So you guys continue exploring forward and
let's go to the room ahead of us.
Yeah, there is one room ahead of you and the stairs behind you.
Yeah, let's do that.
So the room in front, the same greenish colored walls, the same kind of just mildewy smell in the air. Avocado green appliances, just are everywhere. But as you move further away, you can hear the zombies less and less. And you notice kind of an eerie quiet in the rooms. The only sounds you hear as you proceed forward are that of your own footsteps and the footsteps of your allies and occasional rhythmic dripping sounds. As you enter the next room, you see things look much the same as they did in the room before. Dilapidated bookshelves and forsaken arcane research implements on tables. But the other notable thing in this room in the open spaces are cots. Cots. Ooh, like cots. The kind that you set up and sleep on.
Cots. Okay,
yeah.
Cots.
No cops.
No. Cops, get down. No. And on the cots appear to be medium-sized body-shaped figures with black shrouds covering them. The last thing you also notice is there are clear tubes running along the ceiling that are carrying a strange red fluid that are running along the ceiling from another room up further ahead, and each tube ultimately terminates just underneath the shroud on each of these bodies.
So I ask Ralos, do you have any idea what this might be?
Give me a moment. And he goes over and lifts one of the shrouds, and it's kind of disturbing. It looks like it's obviously a corpse of some sort, but the strange thing is the red tube that ends in them, it goes underneath the skin, and you kind of see this sort of pulsating, red energy that kind of go over the body as each drip kind of goes down the tube into it. And with each one, it's hard. Ralos notices it right away, and it's really hard until he points it out to everybody else to tell. But the body is slowly changing from, like, the facial features are changing, like the eyes are moving from one position to another, almost like it's changing the body to look like someone else.
Like someone else, like a different, like they're human bodies and they're starting to look like different humans?
Yeah, precisely.
Gotcha. Can I use my 6 foot social distancing stick to poke one of them?
Sure, you can have a 6 foot social distancing stick. Only if you add that precise item to your inventory.
Absolutely, it's on the list. I never go anywhere without it.
All right. So, after poking it, what are you attempting to learn by poking it?
To see
not if just it for fun, reacts. Isn't it?
I just want to see if it reacts and if it respects the 6 foot distance.
It does not approach you any closer than you already are. In fact, it doesn't seem to react other than that fact that it shifts slightly when you poke it, as you would assume. You would assume a corpse generally would.
Right. Well,
so the lady we tied up,
and left in the
days ago.
Yeah, months ago, years ago. Yes. Remember, she wasn't quite alive, but wasn't quite dead either, right? Because she ate the poison and then was alive again. So she must be one of these things. There's no way to ask Rallos, though, because he's never met her.
After inspecting a few, do they all seem to be becoming the same person, or are they all have different features?
They all have different features, and the features they seem to be changing into seem to all be different people.
Okay. So does Rallos have any other information for us?
He says, this seems like... Because based upon what he can tell, the energy, whatever this fluid is restoring some sort of semblance of life to these things. Almost as though there was a soul that's it, like that's based on his knowledge of necromantic magic, because as all arcane practitioners know, and he kind of looks at you, Jethal, it's necromancy is the manipulation of life energy. And what it appears to be is that this is life energy, specifically that of the soul, is what is being contained in this fluid. So it almost seems as though there is a soul being transported into this body. And this is only speculation, but I would assume that the shifting in the appearance is shifting to that which the soul believes it looks like.
Do we have any concerns these might wake up with us being here?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch what you said there, Athir.
Do we have any concerns that these may wake up while we are here, or?
I have no possibly. That. I don't think that'll happen. That's such a low risk. Is there any cabinets in the room?
Probably a few. Yeah.
Are there cabinets any type of vessels, jars, bottles, anything like that with stoppers?
Well, there's lots of alchemical vials and with stoppers and stuff like that around. Some are empty as well. If you're looking for that,
I'd like to go over, grab one of the bottles with a stopper and take it over to draw the thing out of the body and fill it with the red fluid.
Okay. You do that and you essentially reroute the thing. When you pull it out, it's actually fairly interesting. The tube went much farther into the body. You pull out a solid, almost 10 or 12 inches worth of tubing that was running into the body when you pull it out, and it kind of comes out with this sickening sound as you withdraw it. Sure. And you put the tube into the vial.
Is it pressurized? Like, could have if I kind of put my thumb over the end of the tube, could I squirt it at people? Or
it's not it's not coming out of that rate. It's coming out like a drip, drip, drip.
Oh, bummer. Okay.
Okay, so I'm slowly getting a shocked, nasty, sickened look on my face, and I turn to Rallos and it's like, is there any way to free this soul?
Well, if I think the souls that are being put into these bodies, I'm guessing, are ones that are already dead. So are they ones that you wish to free at that point?
If
you wish to free them to move on to the afterlife, so to speak?
Yes.
Well, their souls are being contained within this fluid. So the only thing that you could do, granted, I don't fully understand what's going on here, but... the only thing you could do is destroy whatever is creating this fluid, and that would likely essentially remove whatever magical influence the fluid has over their souls, and thus their souls would have nowhere else but to move off to their next phase.
All right, let's do that. Where's the tubes originating from?
So you can see the tubes are running along the ceiling. And they're heading off to another room further along. At least where the tube sources go. So you'd have to move along to the next set of rooms.
Sounds like we have a new place to go.
Yeah, I'm going. I'm already starting to walk, so I don't even look behind me.
Are there anyone investigating further before you guys move on?
Yeah, I'll investigate the room.
Okay.
I mean, I'll look around too. I mean, I want to see, I guess I'm looking for not specifically anything other, anything else magical, I guess, as far as maybe the vials, if there's any magical things that I can see.
My perception roll was a 20 modified.
All right.
I'm having great rolls tonight. I rolled a 12 modified.
All right. Anyone else?
No, I'm already starting to move out the room. So.
All right.
The Ark of the Covenant hidden underneath.
So you find a bag of some sort in like one of the cabinets. You're just kind of rifling through all the different cabinets throughout the room, and you find lots of just empty or broken alchemical equipment or magical implements that are pretty much worthless. And you happen to find one thing that seems to be relatively intact and in fairly good condition, a small leather pouch.
Can I turn it inside out?
You turn it inside out.
That's it. Just inside out.
Yeah, when you turn it inside out, you hear this. Well, actually, you don't really hear anything. You see the inside of the bag.
Okay. Well, I'll turn it back inside in.
Yeah.
Can I? Does it detect magic?
Do you have the ability to detect magic?
I do have the ability to detect magic. I picked up that as my second level feat as arcane.
Okay. Then yes, you detect it, and it does detect as magical.
So can I put a? Hey, Tegan, come here.
I'm already at the next room. That's not going
to
work.
I'm trying to.
I've got it's like I've got voices going on in my head right now. I'm not paying attention to you guys.
Snipe hunting. I'm going to see if I can catch Tegan.
Snipe hunting. Jeez.
I want to see if it's like a bag of holding type of thing. So I'm going to put something that's too big for the bag. Can I put it in there and make it go in like it shouldn't, or like my arm? Can I reach in really deep?
You reach in really deep, and yeah, you can absolutely reach in really deep.
So like a bag.
And there's nothing really in there, though, that you can feel.
Right. Not even like an inspector, like a inspector tag, like this bag inspected by.
Do not remove this tag under penalty of law.
Right.
Yeah. Number 35.
Yeah. So it's a hunting bag. Excellent.
Exactly.
So we should catch up with Tegan before he gets himself into trouble.
All right. So we're going to jump ahead to Tegan since he ran ahead of the rest of the group. So you find a larger room. This one has kind of it's like a big sort of almost like a square donut shaped room with a central room kind of in the center of it.
Ooh,
Think of like a square room with another smaller square room inside that you can't see inside of. So it's kind of like a room you can walk around all around. You see more cots, more bodies, more tubes going to said bodies throughout. And the
have you seen my
address? The tubes all seem to be going into holes that are bored into the wall of this central room. There's in the center room, there's also one side of that has these large vault doors, look like they're made out of solid iron as far as you can tell.
You said vault doors?
Vault doors, yeah. Correct. The tubes are, and you also, there's other rooms in the opposite direction as well that, so if you go past this, there's a couple more rooms also with cots and red tubes and so on and so forth. But everything seems to all be heading towards the centralized room.
And it has the vault doors. So I'm going to go over the vault doors. Are they locked vault doors?
Actually, one of them is slightly ajar.
A jar.
I'm gonna go look in first.
Yeah, like a jam jar. Precisely. Good job, Jethal.
I'm gonna go look in first because I'm kind of a person on a mission. I kind of hear these voices in my head, kind of whispering, you know, you can use this, and I don't know exactly what's going on. I'm getting frustrated.
All right. So, yeah, you enter the room, or you look in the room at least. There appear to be several chests that are along the back wall of the room. Additionally, there are three pillars. And on the left of the pillars, you see this scimitar that's essentially mounted on top of the pillar. On the far right pillar, however, you see a wooden box with iron bands. And it seems to be marked with some arcane runes that seem to go back and forth and disappearing and glowing brightly. And in the center pillar, you see a large red gemstone that's pulsating with energy. There appears to be just this constant energy flowing between the three objects back and forth. And as you watch the energy, occasionally it lurches forward slightly a few inches, solidifies into a single drop, and then falls. And you notice that it falls into this small tray that is placed below the items. And when it lands there, there are several other drops that are already in said tray.
So nothing.
I'm guessing.
I'm sorry?
Nothing of interest in this room.
Nope, nothing at all.
So I'm guessing I'm probably the only one alone in the room here.
You're probably taking it all in as you're kind of like peeking through the crack in the door. And by the time you kind of get a chance to get a good look at it, the rest of the group is caught up to you from behind.
So I'll turn to Rallos. I'm like, I want to take that gem out from there so that this stops. Will it stop it if I take that gem?
Possibly, but again, these appear to be powerful items, so I don't know if taking that gem will be the most the easiest of tasks. There's as you can see, there's energy coursing between all of them,
and it's higher than 4 feet.
Hup does joke, but it is you know, they're at about they're about chest height on a medium person, so you could probably grab it if you stood at the base of it and jumped.
I can give you a boost.
Come on, you need a booster seat.
Come on, little dude.
Right,
dude.
Man, we are being mean to Tegan this episode.
I'm trying to help him get up to be like regular height. That's not being mean.
So, does anybody know anything about the scimitar? I mean, can we pull that out first, maybe?
So, do you guys enter the room, or are you guys staying outside?
So, do we all kind of see what this is, what's going on?
We all would have caught up at this point, or what?
Yeah, you guys are all caught up. Tegan at this point is describing the room. So I guess that's a good question, Tegan. How do you describe the room to the rest of the group?
It reminds me of like a safe, and inside this safe it looks like there's three objects. You got the scimitar over on there, you got the red gem in the middle, and on the right hand side you've got the wooden box with the bands. I'm guessing the thing that Rallos is interested in. But what I don't like is that the gem looks like it's doing something with the energies and then making the droplets that is feeding these different folks. And I don't know where the soul's coming from, but I want to free the soul.
So at the sound, at the mention of that red gem, Pup's ears kind of perk up and his fingers start to itch a little bit.
It's probably the stone we're looking for, Hup.
It's probably not. I'll check this room out if you guys want to go down for the other room.
You're not taking the bloodstone, Hup.
I'm staying in this room.
So you guys are having a discussion. Suddenly from the ceiling, you just see this large white, just massive energy just course past you through the wall into there. And you just see it kind of go to where these three objects are and dissipate. As the energy courses around between the three objects, it then settles into the bloodstone, and you just see energy starting to bounce around between them again.
And we're not okay, in the room now, right? We're just
you're not in the room, but the white energy came from outside the room through the walls, or through the ceiling, and then through the walls.
All right, well, Ralos, what was that?
If I had to guess, I'd say that's another soul that's returning to whatever this mechanism is.
It's like a boomerang. I'm going to try to stealth into the room.
So, okay.
All right, so...
Okay. I see all, this and I get...
You have to open very large iron doors to even be able to fit through the crack in the doors. So,
don't worry, they're oiled.
So, as you grab the door, it goes...
Can I fit through the iron bars?
Oh, there's no bars. It's a door. It's a solid metal door.
Can we see if we can fit Tegan through the solid door?
Can I put Tegan on the end of my 6-foot social distancing stick?
I remember a previous episode we called it fishing with Tegan. That is quite literally fishing with Tegan.
Don't try this at home, boys and girls.
Anyway, so we'll you guys all end up entering the room, or at least someone opens the door at one point.
Yes, I open the door.
So as you open the door, you notice one other thing that you didn't notice when you first peered through the crack.
A giant minotaur.
I'm back. No. You see an orc in the room. Previously you didn't notice him because he was sitting in shadows, but he stands up and walks forward. You see him. Scars are covering much of his body. He's wearing black robes and hand wraps. He stands up.
Hand wraps?
Hand wraps. He's just wrapped up.
Yeah. Like a bare knuckle boxing hand wraps type thing.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Not like hand wraps.
I don't know.
Mummy hand wraps.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not mummy hand wraps. So he walks forward and says, "Welcome to the vault. I am Master Kevdak."
Kevdak, that name sounds familiar.
I understand you're looking for the Bloodstone. I apologize for releasing misleading information about the stone being a reward for the gauntlet, but it has been our greatest recruiting method. And obviously it worked on the four of you as well. About five, I suppose, if there's another who's now traveling with your group, apparently. But I'm afraid the stone cannot be removed. But if you're interested, I can share with you its power.
So you see, it's stuck? Because I can unstick it. If it can't be removed, maybe it's just stuck where it's at. Well, I can just remove that for you.
No.
Oh, all right.
Well, you don't fully understand. These three artifacts, the scorpion bloodstone, he gestures at the middle. On the right, he gestures and says, the cask of eternal death. And then on the left, he says, and the scimitar of thirsting sands. When combining these using forbidden rituals, this enables us to ensure the resurrection of any who ingest these tablets. And he gestures towards those droplets that fell into the tray. This is the secret to our power in the Dread Crowns. And now that you've seen it, you have two choices. You may die, or you may join us.
When you say
which do
die,
you choose?
What do you mean by die?
Yeah, so I'm not happy with this at all. I'm getting pretty upset, and I scream die.
Well then,
apparently Tegan has chosen death.
So. Not yeah, for me, but for the ogre that is probably going to stomp me into the ground.
Orc, so, not ogre. Master Kevdak Orc. Was the original Seth. Guy that they didn't that we weren't sure was even still around, right? Or
he was the assassin of the guild.
Yeah, he's essentially this. For those of you who have knowledge about the guild, he's the second in command of the entire guild.
Oh, he's second in command? Okay.
You're not thinking Master Ganthus, though, right?
Up, you're muted if you're trying to talk.
You're not thinking Master Ganthus, though, are you?
No.
No.
Okay. So while this guy's monologuing and kind of going on, I'm gonna stealth and see if I can kind of start flanking him a little bit.
Okay.
Like he's in the middle of the room type of deal, kind of yakking at everybody.
Yeah, pretty much. He's in the middle of the room. Like, so it's he's standing there. The group is standing in front by the doors, and behind him are the three pillars.
And it's like the sword, the stone, and
the box.
Box. So I'll start creeping along the right side wall and just being all stealthy. Do I need to roll on that, or is it just narratively happening?
I mean, he's kind of focused on sort of just explaining what's going on. So, I mean, what? Go ahead and roll a stealth check.
I rolled a 26.
Okay. I mean, he was already at a disadvantage just kind of because he was monologuing. So, but that you easily go unnoticed by him. And actually, with that, you probably go unnoticed. Let me check really quick.
I didn't even notice it.
You go unnoticed by the rest of the group as well. So they're all focused on Master Kevdak and don't see you stealth up behind him.
Okay.
And then the green guy shouts, "Die."
Green guy? You're green now?
You're green?
I was blue before, but when I get angry, I turn green.
Oh, okay. Well, that's new to even me as the DM, I guess.
I'm a Canadian goblin.
All right, so
that's a power or something.
Go ahead and roll initiative really quick.
Oh, man. All right.
Hup, I'll let you use that stealth roll that you rolled to as your initiative.
Okay, that seems fair to me.
All right, so I'll go around. Jethal, what is your initiative?
I rolled a nice 13.
A 13. All right, Athir?
I was really thrown off by Tegan's die statement, so I wasn't really prepared for this, so I rolled a 10.
All right. Tegan?
23. I was ready.
All right, and then Hup, what your stealth check was 26, you said, right?
My initiative was 23. I just, for fun, I rolled my initiative. I got a 26, so natural 20, so plus 6, so...
So either way, you're 26.
Yep.
You don't get a plus 10 for a natural 20?
Not on initiative, I don't believe.
Okay.
I could be wrong on that, but...
No, I'm pretty sure you don't.
I think it's mostly on skill and attack rolls.
Mm. Okay.
We will start off... Oh, I need to roll his initiative too.
Nah, you don't. He doesn't need to go.
But since you guys are kind of catching him by surprise, this will be his initiative for future rounds.
Excellent.
See what he gets.
Surprise.
Yeah. But the thing is, you know, he was monologuing. You didn't expect Tegan to go, yeah. But he gets a 28, so he will ultimately go first.
Holy buckets.
What? Well then, okay.
16? Okay, this might be the end of the party here.
He monologued and got a 28.
All right, but he doesn't go this round because you guys catch him off guard, especially since Hup was stealthing around. So, Hup, what are you doing?
I kind of want to see what everyone else does, if they attack or if they're going to do something else. Can I just kind of hold my action at this point?
You can hold.
Okay.
All right. So I will move you down. Tegan, you're up.
I'm producing a flame.
All right. What are you doing with said flame that you produced?
I'm throwing it straight at his face.
All right. Go ahead and give me a roll for attack.
Right? Nope, that's not it.
But you didn't actually roll a die there.
That's awesome.
You just added 1 plus 4 plus 4, so...
I love that.
Yeah, you rolled a 9, that's fine.
When you add up those three numbers, you get 9 every time. As long as your math engine is working.
You Got a 5.
To hit?
Oh, not to hit.
You roll a d4 on your... You're going to have terrible accuracy if you only roll a d4 with your attack rolls.
It's produced flame, so I'm trying to remember what I roll. Crud.
You roll your d20.
Okay.
You should have the attack on your character sheet, don't you?
Yeah, so you roll your 20 plus your attack bonus. So whatever your attack bonus is.
Yeah. All right.
So you roll 20 plus your attack bonus.
And the attack bonus is based on charisma, right? Not
whatever your class is.
Whatever your spellcasting stat is. So in your case, yes, charisma.
11.
All right. So your shot goes a little wide. He wasn't expecting it, but even with being surprised, he still has enough kind of just bare reflex that he kind of quickly dodges it, and it goes just over his head, just barely grazes past Hup's head, and it goes back towards the artifacts that are up on the pillars, and it kind of hits that cloud of arcane energy above and just kind of dissipates.
Mm.
It dissipates. It doesn't like interact or anything like that.
It doesn't. It seems to just sort of like get absorbed into the arcane energy traveling between the three items.
Okay.
Hang on. Is plus four? So you have a plus four in your charisma modifier?
Yeah, my charisma modifier is a plus four. So okay. I rolled a d20 plus four.
But you should have more than
that. You're also trained, most likely, which would give you another 4, correct? Because you also add your spell attack proficiency.
Do you not have your character sheet anymore?
I have a character sheet, but I did the attack based on the dagger, not based on the spell. So I did I did the class DC last time when I did produce flame. I didn't use the attack roll. I told Tony what the class DC was. So that's why I'm unprepared. I was going to tell him what the DC was against produce flame, not roll an attack roll.
Yeah, there's no DC.
There's no DC for produce.
Yeah. So, all right. So So we'll just go with you missed.
That's fine.
Yeah. All right. Up next is Hup. Do you still want to hold or do you want to?
Yeah, I'm going to hold. I'm going to see both because he barely has not been attacked yet. Because I'm kind of curious. He's kind of. Let's see if he's like trying to capture us or if he's really trying to attack us.
All right. Then up next is Jethal.
Yeah. I want to. I think I want to. That doesn't really. Yeah, that doesn't really do what I want. I will do just a ray of frost on him.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. Did it? Should have clicked. There it went. So I rolled a 20.
A 20 is a hit.
Okay. And I hit for 8 damage.
All right. Thank goodness for being flat-footed. All right, you deal 8 damage to Master Kevdak. All right, Hup, are you still holding?
Yeah, I'll hold just a little bit longer.
Okay, and Aether, your turn.
All right, I'm going to draw my falchion.
Okay.
And then where am I in relation to him?
You can be about one movement action away from him.
So I'll need to move in order to reach him. All right, I'm going to move up to him with my first action and then try to demoralize him with an intimidating glare.
Okay.
So
is that how does that work mechanically?
You can demoralize with a mirror glare. When you do, demoralize loses the auditory trait and gains the visual trait, and you don't take a penalty if the creature doesn't understand your language.
Okay.
So I'm assuming it's a intimidation check, I would assume.
That would seem logical.
So
Is that like a raised eyebrow and kind of a squinty eye?
All right. What'd you roll on your intimidation check?
10. So I guess that wasn't very fearsome. I guess I just winked at him.
You walk up to him and you look really intense in his eyes, but he also looks just as intense back at you. So essentially you guys are having a glare off instead of intimidating each other.
All right.
Does he lean in? All
right. Let me see here. I guess I'm just going to try to do an attack against him since my glare was not okay. Let me see here. What else do we got here? I think, though, I'm going to try to do a brutish shove when I'm attacking with my weapon. And if I hit him, I'm assuming he's my size or smaller, yeah?
He is your size.
And then that will push him back if it succeeds, I believe. So.
Okay. And does it still deal damage as well, or...?
Yeah, this is an attack that hits so hard as a feat that it makes him move.
Got it. Okay, sounds good.
So let's just go ahead and see if I hit with this guy. Is a 17 a success?
17 is not a hit.
Okay. All right, so I miss with both my intimidating glare and my attack. So we're 3 for 3 for totally screwing up. So all right, let's see if Hup can do anything better.
I mean, you're 3 failures and 1 success. I mean, Jethal did hit him. So we had a missed firebolt, a missed intimidate, and a missed attack, and a frost.
Pretty awesome.
And frost to the face. All right, so Hup, it is now your turn, and it's the last count on the initiative, so you can either choose to go or refocus to next turn.
I'm going to go. I think what I'm going to do is say, hey, Kevdek, idiot boy, and then throw that bottle of red juice I got from the other room right at his skull head.
Okay. Go ahead and give me just a attack.
Oh, I think I rolled multiple times. Sorry. 16 would have been my...
16. So we'll say that with that, you're able to hit him but not deal any damage. So it just kind of splashes red juice on him.
Okay. And then I'm going to use my next thing to try... So I'm trying to get everybody to kind of look at what's going on and then try to use a sleight of hand to grab the box that I've slid over next to.
Okay. So you're going to move over and then grab
the... This seems like the box that we were after, right?
That is the box that Rallos himself was after, yes.
Yeah. So I'm going to see if I can...
Or is after, rather.
I'm going to see if I can pocket it without anybody noticing.
Okay. Go ahead and give me a sleight of hand check.
Is that just a thievery check?
Oh, yes. It would be thievery. It's a subset of thievery.
That's a 25.
All right. Let me roll deception and... Okay, so the only person who seems to notice is Rallos, what you're doing. Everyone else is focused enough on the combat, and Rallos was also, everyone else can now see, was also trying to make his way towards the box, but Hup got there first. So Hup places his hand on the box. He, there's no check required to grab it. You grab it.
Right.
Or at least put your hands on it. It's just whether or not you were hidden about it. Master Kevdak was kind of distracted by things flying in his face, and everyone else was distracted by throwing things at his face. laughing at it. So, you put your hand on the box, and all the magical energy that's kind of swirling around stops and just kind of goes into Hup. And Hup slowly turns his head towards the rest of the group, and his eyes turn red.
Oh, good.
We will end the episode there.
What? No!
I have an action left. Come on.
No, you used your three. You threw your vial. You had the move over to it, and then you got the sleight of hand to grab it. Sure, you can use an action point. Can you use action points for extra actions?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
I mean, you could use a hero point to reroll your thievery if you want to, but... that is the end of your turn. So, red eyes looking at the rest of the party.
Sweet.
And
maybe he's just really tired.
Maybe.
Just beat. I mean, it has been a long day.
So, what is going to happen? What just happened to Hup? We'll find out next time. I mean, these guys will find out here in just a moment. But the rest of you, the audience, will find out next time on Paper, Pencil, Dice. So thanks again for tuning in. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Discord. Reach out if you have any questions. We're happy to help out. I know that we make online appearances. We're going to probably maybe start trying to do live streams every once in a while just to say hi. Or at least I will anyway. So if you ever want to just drop by and say hi, I'll probably start doing live streams here shortly on Facebook. But otherwise, we'll catch you next time on Paper, Pencil, Dice. Keep gaming, everybody.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Paper, Pencil, Dice. Come check us out on our website, paperpencildice.com, or come visit us on Facebook. Leave us any feedback or questions you might have. Join us next time to see where our heroes end up on Paper, Pencil, Dice.